It is the responsibility of the Board of Directors to set the association's goals, objectives, budget, and work plan, in addition to fundraising activities. I am proud to have served on the Board of the Main Street Directors. I've been proud to serve as a member of the Main Street Board of Directors since 2019, and have served as Board President under Norma's leadership since 2022. Soon after Norma passed away on December 15, 2025, I convened the Board for our first meeting. It was then that we all emphatically agreed that it was our strong desire and responsibility to our community to continue Norma's legacy. Soon after is when I resigned my position as Board President to take on the interim executive director position. I'd like to give a big shout out of thanks to members of our board, including our interim board president, Margaret Holstein, who's joined us today. Margaret stepped up to take on the interim board president role and has been a strong supporter and a dear friend throughout this entire process. And we have other members of the Main Street Board of Directors here tonight. If I could ask you guys to stand to be acknowledged. That's you guys. There we go. Thank you. I'd like to highlight some of the accomplishments of the Paso Robles Main Street Association. Over the last few years, we've tracked tens of thousands of volunteer hours that have all benefited our community. We host monthly business mixers that help local businesses in our community gain greater exposure. We produce several time-honored annual events in our community that benefit both locals and visitors alike. In addition to providing brochures, maps, and general information to our downtown visitors, and for more than three decades, we have inspired local residents to get involved and be active in our community. We lead by example. We lead by example by working with other community partners to help make Paso Robles a thriving downtown area. This picture is some of us celebrating with the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance and the Chamber of Commerce, all of which are here with us today. By working with other community partners to help make Paso Robles thrive, we also work with several other community organizations, including, as I mentioned, the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance, the Paso Robles Templeton Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Pioneer Day Committee, the California Mid-State Fair, the Hispanic Business Association, the Atascadero Chamber, the Lions Club, and the Elks Club, just to name a few. So we've been really involved in the community for well over 30 years, and we're very proud and honored that our legacy and the legacy that Norma has created has really permeated throughout the entire community. The Paso Robles Main Street Association has had a widespread and lasting impact not only in Slo County, but around the state and the nation as well. Pictured here is one of the most iconic images of our downtown, the corner of Park Street and 12th Street, right across from our city park. This image is taken from the California Main Street Association's website, who holds our organization in the highest regards, as the Paso Robles Main Street Association was one of the first Main Street programs in the state. The Paso Robles Downtown Main Street Association is a recognized leader among both California and National Main Street Associations, as we are focused on building strong partnerships with city staff, other local organizations, business owners, and community members. Despite historical challenges from malls and big box stores, and contemporary challenges from online retailers and corporate outlets, our ongoing mission is to enhance our downtown through community involvement, historical preservation, and small business promotion. One of the most incredible points I'd like to share with the council and the community is just how much the Main Street Association does and has been able to accomplish on such a small budget. While we have historically been a volunteer-based organization and will continue to focus our efforts on volunteer recruitment, We are also living in some difficult economic times, as the cost of doing business, putting on events, marketing, and promoting our business district has continued to rise. We receive funding in a few different ways, and are always looking for ways to increase our revenues while cutting our costs. From membership dues and donations to event sponsorship and fundraising efforts, we work hard to manage our finances carefully and efficiently. However, I wouldn't be doing my job effectively or efficiently, or representing our members and our community, if I didn't say that we could use additional funds to help better improve services and experiences to the residents and visitors of Paso Robles. Based on national averages of government contracts, annual inflationary costs for cost of living adjustments, we are requesting a modest 3% increase in city funds for the next 2 to 3 year budget cycle, if you all see fit. We understand that the current economic conditions are increasingly difficult for our city government officials, small local businesses, nonprofit associations, and charity organizations, especially Paso Robles residents. We have a great deal of gratitude, respect, and admiration for our city manager, city staff, and city council. We believe this is a value-driven investment into our community, and we greatly appreciate your consideration. In conclusion, I would like to thank the Paso Robles City Council, city management and staff, and local residents and visitors to our beautiful downtown for your continued support of our organization and our mission. We are committed to continuing the legacy of Norma Moy and all those who came before us, who have helped make downtown Paso Robles one of the most beloved communities in the country. With your help, we will continue to grow and thrive. The Paso Robles Downtown Main Street Association is a symbol of our community heritage where everyone comes together. I appreciate you guys' time and allowing the Main Street Association to share our annual report. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Questions of Jeffrey? Okay. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Evening, Council. Dale Gustin. I want to thank Jeffrey for stepping up and doing the excellent job he's doing. I'm a lifetime board member of Main Street, and since I retired, I've become a volunteer. And when I first came to town, I remember when John Hammond was a volunteer for the fire department. And that's mainly what we had for a fire department in those days. John, you remember that. So volunteerism is what's made this city great. And in the history of Main Street, if you look back, we've suffered through some depressions. We thought maybe Walmart Plaza would take away a lot of our business, but we decided not. We offer something in the downtown that they can't get at Walmart. And I don't have any qualms with Walmart offering what they do. But Main Street has succeeded because of all the merchants in the downtown and our Main Street board. And that's all I want to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Next, we have Joel Peterson, Executive Director of Wine Country. Welcome, Joe.
Hello. Thank you for having me tonight, Mr. Mayor, City Council, City Staff, Community. My name is Joel Peterson, CEO of the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance. Tonight, I'd like to walk us through our role, our responsibilities, and how we partner with the City of Paso Robles to support the economic vitality of the city. I also want to frame this really, really clearly from the outset. We don't view the city's contribution to us as a donation. It is an investment in the vitality of the city and the economic engine that drives our region. So at our core, there we go. This partnership is really focused on one thing, strengthening the long-term viability of the Paso Robles wine industry and in turn supporting the economic health of this community. The city's annual contract with us hits 5 key pillars. On the trade side, we bring in buyers and industry experts to Paso Robles and also take Paso Robles wines into key markets. In the educational side, we provide consistent programming that strengthens local workforce across wineries, hospitality, and businesses. In the marketing area, we focus specifically on Paso Robles wine region, just from the general wine tourism. And then we work closely with the city and partner organizations on a broader economic development efforts and provide the economic marketing assets to support the city initiatives. Everything we do throughout the year aligns with these commitments. On the greater standpoint, which Stacy referenced earlier, is the economic impact of our region. It generates approximately $2.8 billion in total economic impact, with $1.5 billion directly tied to the wine sector. And most importantly, 37% of the city of Paso Robles general fund is driven by wine tourism. As far as visitation, the region sees over 2.5 million visitors annually, driving spending across hotels, restaurants, retail, and local services. We represent over 22,000 jobs in the wine and wine tourism sector, and 1 in 5 jobs in wine tourism is supported by our industry. We have a small but mighty team here. Many of you are here tonight. We operate across advocacy and community, member services, trade relations, and marketing and communications, which are our four key pillars that we'll touch upon next. We really work with local organizations quite well, and it's part of our team's ethos and part of our DNA, our board, our team, and this is really the cornerstone of Paso Wine. It's important to note that success is built through strong collaboration across these organizations, especially with Travel Paso and other partners that impact the city. We share an office with the Chamber of Commerce and meet regularly with the Main Street Association. As far as economic impact, we do give back through our nonprofit foundation. This includes a $62,000 auction this year, and this year alone we'll give $30,000 alone to high school seniors, and we've given away over $150,000 over the last 5 years to high school graduating seniors in the North County. We are over 500 businesses strong across wineries, hospitality, and related industries. This network represents a significant portion of the Paso Robles economic ecosystem. People invest in our organization because they see measurable value and benefits. We support hundreds of these businesses. We do strong industry education. It's the core of our contract, and it's about workforce equality. We deliver roughly 35 programs annually, including hospitality, marketing education, and industry seminars. Programs like our Hospitality 101 don't just train winery staff, they improve the visitor experience across the entire city. We also partner with our partners at Slow Partners to do education with high school students in terms of hospitality as well, which is a strong addition to our pillar over the last couple of years. I'd like to bring up our marketing director, Krista Smith, to say a few words about our marketing programs, which is really at the heart of what we do.
Thank you, Joel. Good evening, everyone. It is no secret to everyone in this room that Paso Robles is a vibrant and welcoming wine region with genuine hospitality and diverse, innovative wines. And it is our privilege to be able to share that with everyone through our marketing efforts. The PRWCA has built and strengthened relationships with like-minded halo brands such as Strauss, Porsche, Acquapana San Pellegrino, Wine Enthusiasts, and more that truly help to elevate the Paso Robles wine brand on a global scale. And our signature event, Paso Wine Fest, has been in the community for over 40 years. And just next weekend alone, we are bringing expected 3,500 attendees to the region. We have 127 wineries and 10 local restaurants participating in the Saturday Grand Tasting. And this event has continued to skew younger year over year. And unfortunately, other events like this are not as fortunate as we are in terms of attendance. So Paso Wine Fest continues to be an example that is growing for the wine community. And speaking of reaching new generations, we are also excited to introduce the inaugural Paso Robles Wine Month, which is a partnership with the PRWCA, Paso Robles Cab Collective, and Travel Paso. It is a month-long campaign in May of this year that brings together Paso's dynamic wineries with leading retailers, restaurants, and wine enthusiasts. And our marketing strategy is really targeting diverse multicultural communities and younger generations, particularly Gen Z and millennials, which is a growing consumer base for Paso Robles Wine. And combined, these three organizations are committed to spending $75,000 on a digital ad campaign, which will drive wine sales, visitation, and increase Paso Robles brand awareness during the month of May. And as of this afternoon, we have already received nearly 1,300 consumer email addresses that we continue to engage with and build that conversation to promote visitation to Paso beyond the month of May. Along with our activations and events locally, we also take Paso Wine on the road to continue to connect with audiences from our key metro areas. Earlier this year, we went to the Palm Desert Food and Wine Festival, as well as hosted our own events in Dallas, Texas. And later this year, we'll be taking about 40 wineries on the road to LA and Fresno to meet them where they are and encourage them to come and visit Paso Robles Wine Country. The PRWCA also runs several ad campaigns throughout the year. Those campaigns last year alone earned 10 million impressions across our Blend Fest, Paso Wine Fest, Virtual Auction, Harvest Wine Month, and general awareness campaigns. And we tell the story of Paso Wine through several key channels, one being our Where Wine Takes You podcast, which has over 300,000 listens across nearly 170 episodes to date. It is also a consistent top 10 wine podcast in the world and in the top 1% of podcast listens globally. We also do a bi-weekly blog and have a highly engaged audience on social media. We have a continuing partnership with Wine Folly to help us produce our annual map and guide. We create over 100,000 copies of the maps each year and over 10,000 copies of the guide, all distributed in key tourism welcome centers across the state. And for those that prefer a digital approach, we have a free Paso Wine app that has over 10,000 downloads. Along with our paid and owned channels, we also have a strong focus on earned media. We have established relationship with both traditional media and influencers to continually generate buzz for the region of Paso Robles. We do both proactive pitches as well as respond to story requests through our partners like Travel Paso, Visit SloCal, and Visit California. With that, we'll bring Joel back up.
Thank you so much. Last but not least, as far as our pillars go, we have our trade relations. In the last year, we were able to go to Poland, Paris, Dallas, and then we'll be going to Los Angeles and Fresno, again, speaking with industry experts, wine sommeliers, and buyers to come back here and preach that good word of Paso Robles wine. It's been a good program to really drive the reputation of the region up, which in turn drives the economic engine of the Paso Robles. So I want to just hit upon the final five things that we do in our contract, which is trade outreach, industry education, wine-specific marketing, economic development, and the use of those assets. It's really key to what we do. We've had enjoyed the last two, several years of this contract, but this is coming up on the last two-year contract. We ask that as you look forward to the budgeting season over the next few weeks, that you look at the next time to look at your contributions to all these organizations and contribute to them equitably. I want to call up our board chairman, Chris Cherry, for the final words for the Wine Alliance. Chris Cherry is the owner of Via Creek Wine Cellars and Maha Estate, and he'll come up here to say a few final words for us.
Welcome, Chris.
Good evening, council members. Everybody in attendance, thank you for coming out this evening. I have had the great fortunes to be a resident here in Paso for amazing 30 years now. It's hard to believe it's half my life. My wife and I moved here with two little kids in tow to open a business right downtown on the park. The reason we moved here was a quality of life and an opportunity. As that was happening, the wine industry was growing at a very rapid pace. It was just a few years after that I had the opportunity to start a wine brand and work with the wine brand and the restaurant along with PRWCA in helping to market the region. I think we could all agree, besides our community being one of the best and most recognized assets that we have to offer to the world, it's also the wine industry. The wine industry, as I see it, is the engine that drives the train. It drives tourism, it drives real estate values, it drives culture, it drives community. It's important for organizations like the PRWCA to market Paso as a wine region and a community to the world. We call it the world of wine, and it's a very small world of wine. I can be anywhere in this world, and I could be wearing a Paso Robles shirt, and people will say, hey, I've been to Paso. Are you from Paso? Yeah. I drink the wine from Paso. And that's really a very special thing. So I am flattered to be a part of this board now for, I think, my fifth year, and As the chairman currently, I have the opportunity to offer my insight to the world of wine, which is important because it's not just California wine, but also what our community has to offer and how we as an organization need to integrate along with the community. We don't want to be separate from the community. We are the community. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate your efforts to fund us, and we ask that you look at those numbers equitably as you go into your budgeting season. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Stacy, do you want to speak now, I guess? Okay.
Yeah, any questions for Joel?
Any questions?
Well, yeah. Okay. Well done, Joel. And again, I got to tell you, I just came from a cruise vacation yesterday, and on that ship, Paso Robles Wines.
Great.
And everybody knows Paso Robles, no question about it when we mention it. So you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Robert, welcome.
Good evening, Mayor Hammond, council members, city manager Chris Huat, city staff, and all those in attendance. My name is Rob Covarrubias. I am the CEO of the Paso Robles Templeton Chamber of Commerce. We're happy to present to you today for our budget consideration. For those that didn't know, let me advance this here. Paso Robles has had a Chamber of Commerce in existence for over 100 years. As I was digging into this, 106 years to be exact. Paso Robles Templeton Chamber of Commerce has been a cornerstone of this community, championing local businesses, welcoming visitors, and working to ensure that Paso Robles remains a destination that people seek out and want to return to. Today, we represent over 700 members. Happy to report that we are climbing rapidly in our membership, which is a testament to our team, but nonetheless, 700 currently and growing fast. We are operating a thriving visitor center and maintaining a strong presence in advocacy conversations from City Hall to Capitol Hill. We are more engaged and impactful than ever. Three things that we do well and that we're starting to do really well: we welcome, we connect, and we promote. Paso Robles, as we all know, is a beautiful, beautiful city, a great destination. Our visitor center is the city's front door. Every traveler who walks in leaves with a reason to stay longer, spend more, and come back. We drive local spending with thousands of referrals made annually to local hotels, restaurants, wineries, and shops. The visitor center is one of the city's most effective economic development tools. We tell our story from travelers that are travel writers to influencers, to group tour operators. We actively market Paso Robles to regional, national, and international audiences. At a glance, who do we serve? So there's three tiers here that I find that are interesting. 55% of the visitors we serve stay at least one night in Paso Robles. That is your common visitor that comes, spends a night, a weekend, whatever the case may be. 17% are locals. Yes, the Chamber of Commerce does deal with a lot of local folks, and we're happy to do that. And then the number that I thought was interesting is 28% neither live in our county or are staying in Paso Robles specifically. These are folks that are staying in places like Pismo Beach, some of the coastal communities that are passing through or coming to our community for the day. We're going to do a better job of tracking these folks, actually all three pillars. To be very, very honest, when I started the role in October, I wasn't happy with our monitoring tool, so we're looking for ways to establish better tools to monitor our visitors that are both local, visitors that are coming from other regions, and just all kinds of different buckets. So we're hoping to have a lot better data that is pinpoint specific on exact numbers of those that are coming to our city and why they're here and where they're spending their dollars. But again, three buckets that we're monitoring. Just a note, this does not include the hundreds of emails and phone calls that we get in addition to those that walk through our doors. So it's definitely a full-time operation. We are, and I'll get into it here more, we are open 7 days a week. What brings visitors to our door? Obviously, wineries are a huge contributor to that. Hotels, dining, and local favorites. As Jeffrey and both Joel have noted, Paso Robles is a great place to live. We have a lot of amenities. There's a lot of reasons why people are here, and we're happy to serve them whenever given the chance. It is every question is a dollar directed to a Paso Robles business, and that's what we do. We try to answer questions, we try to give directive, we try to point them in the right direction, and of course we encourage them to spend their dollars and stay longer. I'm going to back up one quick slide. Oh, there we go. From vision to reality. So if you haven't had a chance to come visit our new visitor center, you need to come check it out. If you remember this building, it used to be the old Keller Williams building. With the assistance and the collaboration with the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance, I want to note that we completely, pretty much gutted this building with our own dollars. I'm not happy to report that we were over budget. That was not expected, but it does happen when you're doing a massive project. We spent collectively between ourselves and the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance over $300,000 of our own money to renovate this building to provide a service to the folks that are here locally and visiting Paso Robles. We did not ask the city for $1. We did that on our own for the benefit of our community. So just make a note of that. It's our first full year at our new location. The visitor center has become exactly what we envisioned it. It's a destination in its own right. Investing in a world-class welcome creates a world-class impression to Paso Robles, and this visitor center proves it every single day. Again, visitors from first-time wine country explorers, returning guests, planning their next trip, visitors come to us for personalized guidance, local recommendations, and the kind of insider knowledge they cannot find on a search engine. We send them out into Paso Robles informed, excited, and ready to spend. Members, our location serves as a gathering place for the business community. Members host events here, connect with one another, and benefit from the referrals our staffs make every day to visitors who are looking for exactly what our members offer. Being part of the chamber means having a physical presence in one of the most visited locations in our city. Community, the visitor center is not just for out-of-towners. Locals come to us for event information, community resources, and a connection to everything happening in the city they call home. We celebrate Paso Robles history, promote local events, and serve as a point of civic pride for residents who want to share their city with the people they bring to our town. Advocating for Paso Robles at every level. It's important to understand that we advocate both on the federal side, state side, and obviously local. We are connected with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the California Chamber of Commerce, and the Tri-County Chamber, which means businesses have representation, again, at the federal, state, and regional level. Policies that affect how you do business here are often made far from here. We make sure nobody forgets about Paso Robles when those decisions are having to be made. A couple of numbers for you. So it cost us $146,089 to operate the visitor center. I want to make it very clear, every single dollar that the city invests in our visitor center stays in the visitor center. It is 100% all towards the visitor center. We are open 7 days a week, 50 hours a week. We're hoping to expand that. I know Templeton is not part of this. They are not part of this, but we do have a location in Templeton that we staff. that is completely exclusive of this. Again, it benefits the entire North County, which is why we agreed to merge with Templeton a couple of years ago, and we are really starting to make some headway. So 146 creates, we are very appreciative of the city contract the last 2 years. We're asking for it to be renewed again with a consideration just for informational purposes. We are about a $31,000 shortfall. So we take $31,000 out of our normal Chamber of Commerce operating budget to continue to fund and make sure the visitor center is completely funded 7 days a week, almost 365 days a year. We are open a lot. So just for that, let me make sure I got it here. Yep. Investing in what works. Thousands of visitors served. Thousands of referrals directed to local businesses, a visitor center that costs $146,089 a year to operate well. The city's current contribution of $115,000 is meaningful and appreciated. We share this full picture with the council in a spirit of transparency, and we trust that this partnership will continue to reflect the value the visitor center delivers to Paso Robles. In closing, I hope that the council and our community have noticed the difference that our chamber has experienced over the last 6 months. We have been working hard. When I started in October, literally we had one full-time employee and a few visitor center staff. Now we are 10 solid, director of events, director of finance, marketing, sales, visitor. We added more visitor center staff. We are really growing and doing a great job trying to collaborate more with the city, who we appreciate the collaboration with, our community and the local businesses that we serve. Our job is to be a first-class visitor center, Paso Robles Templeton Chamber of Commerce as a whole. We're not going anywhere. We hope to be here for 100 plus more years. We love being part of Paso Robles, and frankly, as a Bearcat myself, 1986, getting ready to celebrate 40-year reunion in 2 months. Proud to call Paso Robles home. Questions?
Thank you, Rob. Questions of Rob?
Thank you.
Now, this is amazing again. And you guys, I think of it as a stool, you know, leg on a stool. And all of you guys, as far as what you do for the city and us as a cornerstone, it's like, it's a great partnership, and it's what makes Paso Robles Paso Robles. So, again, appreciate your service.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. All right, we'll close the presentations and move on to the general public comments. This is the time that the public may address the City Council on items within its purview but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Council or staff may briefly respond to statements or questions posed by the public. Please fill out a speaker card and give it to our city clerk before speaking. You'll have 3 minutes. Those people wishing to speak on any item scheduled on tonight's agenda will be given the opportunity to do so at the time the item is being considered.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. So you were on a cruise? Well, I went to the Capitol. Some people may find cruises fun, but my car couldn't get there fast enough. I brought you guys some souvenirs. This is the State Street, the LAO office, Legislative Analyst Offices. Full definition of what affordable housing is. The reason why I went to the Capitol was because I have been a representative for GSMOL. Anyways, HCD made a proposal in which they were going to raise the fees for all mobile home owners year by inflation plus rounding up to the next dollar without following the current rulemaking process. So tonight, 1.5 million mobile home owners could rest comfortably. There was 19 of us from GSMOL that were at the Capitol. I was at a very quaint senator hearing, very small room. I was able to testify, and the senators really were upset with HCD. The other reason why I went is because HCD pulled jurisdiction on our fire marshal. He called HCD, gave him information for our park. They told him to put it in writing, and then they told me on the phone it was his jurisdiction. I couldn't be satisfied with that answer, so I elevated it to the executive director of HCD. and Don Addis's office. HCD shot back with, it's still not our jurisdiction. So that was the other reason why I went to the Capitol. I was able to talk with Senator Smallwood and the other senators, Hurtado, about the mishandling of the MRL PPP program. So in the future, these types of things won't happen again. In North County, in the North State, it is the fire department's jurisdiction to manage fire lanes and things like that. But I want to thank Fire Marshal Patty for going. For 2 years, I learned how hard it is to iron out some of the littlest issues. For 2 years, this has been bending his ear. And what I'm always pleased with our staff is the extreme amount of patience. So anyways, I have a question regarding the 24th Street on the left turn to Lorena. That is no longer a left turn. You cannot go into their driveway generally on that left because they have a truck block there. So you guys had me up almost on the corner. I made that left turn anyways, not seeing it till it was too late. My question is, do you guys notify the businesses when you cut off the main vein of entrance into their businesses? That's one thing. And then the last thing is that I did get a copy. The Dollar Tree is doing better. They're handling the kids. They're banning them now when they come in and fight and steal. And then the Fox Theater, I'm obsessed with that place. They need to fix their wood front. It is sadly coming off and looking very poorly. Yes? Oh, maybe someone can make a copy? I thought there was five. Oh, I don't have any more.
Oh, boo.
Okay, if I can find it.
Yeah, we can get you. We can get you a copy. Yeah. Stacy.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. I'm Stacy Jacob, President and CEO of Travel Paso. I'm here tonight to speak on the ongoing collaboration between Travel Paso and the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance and talk about why this partnership matters more now than ever. We're currently in the month of May, which is Paso Robles Wine Month, as the Wine Alliance mentioned. Right now, we're seeing what happens when our organizations align, coordinate promotions, share storytelling, and visitors arriving for one clear reason, the experience of Paso Robles Wine Country and this amazing community that we live in. Wine has become synonymous with Paso Robles. Wherever a visitor goes in this destination, wine is part of the experience. It's the thread that pulls through every attraction we offer. And looking through May, our priority is Wine Festival. It remains one of the most important drivers of overnight visitation, downtown activity, and economic impact for the city. But wine does not only live at Wine Festival. Wine shows up at the California Mid-State Fair. Wine shows up at the Vina Robles Amphitheater, where every concert goer is a potential wine country guest. Wine shows up at Sensorio. You get the picture. Our attractions strengthen Paso Robles, the story, and wine is woven throughout all of them. Wine and Paso Robles are synonymous. That's why our strategic alignment with the Alliance is so important. It's about keeping consistent year-round traffic flowing into Paso Robles and into our downtown core. Travel Paso and the Wine Alliance cannot do this alone. The greater ecosystem includes our hotels, wineries, restaurants, retailers, event producers, and the city itself. Every one of these partners is feeling the same pressures: shifting consumer behavior, economic headwinds, and a more competitive destination landscape than we've ever seen before. This is a critical moment. So tonight, I want to do two things. I want to first publicly state our support for the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance and reinforce our alliance with them and our working together with Travel Paso. And second, I want to challenge the council to think bigger and think beyond what is this city, the DMO, the alliance, and all of our partners can align to protect our downtown, elevate the destination, and what do we look at 5 to 10 years from now? How do we really look at those traffic generators that are going to continue bringing people to our downtown core in this amazing destination? We have the brand, we have the product, we have the partners, so it's time that we collectively align, invest, and lead. Thank you.
Thanks, Stace. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Mary Ubersax. I'm owner of Earth Tones Gifts Gallery and Center for Healing, and I'm located at 790 Pine Street, and I'm here to speak about, well, they did it for me. I'm a member of the Main Street and collaborate with each of these organizations in a very discreet and personal way that benefits the community, increases tourism. And why? Because I happen to be at the train station. I'm located at the historic depot on Pine, and I get to share the I'm on the other side on the tracks, y'all. So I'm not really in the corridor anymore after 15 years. At courtesy of the council, we're actually able to inhabit this wonderful transportation center. Last month, you approved the Bike Month proclamation, and so I thought, you know, in Norma's way, I would do something about that. So I'm shifting gears. We're going to be celebrating Bike Month and Wine Month at the train station. Gears and cheers. Why not? So I'd like to just publicly announce the frivolous and fun event, which will include wellness, health, and cycling. It'll also have a celebration with Cypher Winery, which will be featuring their wines. And we're going to put together a little Why Cycle in Paso Robles. How can you do it? We're building on the Bike Month. We're working in collaboration with SlowCog, and Main Street has helped to support this event. But really, there's so much happening with two wheels here. And some of it was the Great Western Bike Program that used to be at the Mid-State Fair. There are people who bring their panniers and go buy wine. So we hope to make a statement, encourage dialogue, and just kind of feature what the services that the train station, the Amtrak services, the connections, and the transportation of the local transit centers can help to increase our wine tourism in the area. So it's really going to be a fun event. It'll be from 3:15 to 6:30 on that Friday, the 15th of May, and you can look up more information. Hopefully we can get this publicized a little bit better at this last minute, but hey, gears and cheers. I can't think of anything more fun than to just kind of keep a fresh air approach to our wonderful downtown. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Very good idea. Appreciate that. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, good evening, council members and community of Paso Robles. My name is Kristen Grosso. I'm the outreach manager for Community Partners in Caring. We're new to Slo County, and we're a nonprofit, volunteer-based organization, and we're dedicated to supporting aging adults and individuals with disabilities. We provide free, yes, free, services to residents age 62 and older, as well as disabled adults who need a little extra help maintaining their independence. Our services include transportation, shopping, errands, friendly visits, and regular wellness calls. So at the heart of everything we do is we focus on medical and food security for our clients, and we want our clients to remain safe, healthy, and independent as long as possible. Community Partners in Caring began serving Santa Barbara County in 1997, and we just expanded into Slo County in November of 2025. So we cover all areas of both counties. This expansion came at a very crucial time. After Wilshire Health and Community Services closed its doors last year, about 400 clients who relied on those services, which was transportation, deliveries, and visits, were left without support. And for many of those individuals, that meant missed medical appointments, limited access to food, and also increased isolation. I had the privilege of serving with Wilshire as a coordinator for 7 years, so I saw firsthand the impact those services had on those people's lives. It truly is an honor to now be a part of Community Partners in Caring to continue my mission and working to ensure that these residents in your community aren't left behind. Community Partners in Caring is committed to rebuilding and expanding these vital services into your community, but we cannot do it alone. Partnerships with local leadership and community support is essential to reach those in need and to sustain this work. If you're interested in learning more, please visit our website, partnersincaring.org. Again, that's partnersincaring.org. And I still have more time. I'm happy to do presentations with any organizations. If you have a group, I'm happy to come and talk more about our services. And we also need volunteers. So if you can't donate your time, every dollar counts to help these clients continue getting their rides. But thank you for your time and commitment and to the well-being of our community. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I'm going to need you probably come December, recovering mayor.
I will leave business cards by the door for everybody.
Thanks for coming tonight. Margaret, welcome.
Good evening. My name is Margaret Holstein, and I'm president of Downtown Main Street. I've been with Main Street probably about 30 years, and for all of you, for information of history, Main Street was started in 1988 by Bob Latta, the community development director of Paso Robles. He was the inspiration. He went to the Valley, and he was the inspiration, brought it back to Paso. And what has Paso Main Street has done, we've saved the downtown. I've been around Main Street. I've been born and raised in this area. I saw what it did for Paso Robles downtown. So there's a lot of success stories up here tonight of their businesses, but we started back in 88. And I wanted to just let you know, thank you for all your support and that went on with Main Street. We really appreciate your dedication. And for the downtown Paso, our main thing is for the downtown businesses, but thank you again. Just want to give you a little history that when it was started and what we've done for the downtown. We've saved the downtown. It was nothing here in 88. And I said maybe a little bit before, but it really, Norma walked the streets and we saved the businesses. You could shoot a cannon off to Spring Street and nothing moved, but now look what that tourism has done. But I really credit to Main Street for bringing all this and the success of the wineries too. So just want to let you thank you and hope luck your support and have a great evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for your 9 years on the Planning Commission too, Margaret, with Bob Latta. That was a lot to make that happen. Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening. Darcia Stebbins, rural San Miguel. I'm here as a private citizen this evening, although I am also on the Republican Party Central Committee. I wanted to welcome everyone to election season. According to the Constitution, we have election day, but now we have election season where we have 45 days of voting and 45 days of counting. So ballots are out. I'm here as a private citizen. These are my own opinions. But I did want to alert people that they can be precinct workers, that the county clerk recorder's office has put out that they need people for the Paso Robles precincts, for the San Miguel precincts, and also for Shandon. And Shandon especially, I know it's a little further out, but that was one where the precinct was actually shut down halfway through the election day back in November of 2024. So I would like to keep that precinct open. I asked them, I'm on the waiting list. I asked them to please call me if they couldn't find enough people for any of those precincts. So I'll give you the information. It's slowvote.gov, so slowvote.gov, or slowvote.com. That is the website to the San Luis Obispo County Clerk Recorder's Office. You can also call them at 805-781-4989, 781-4989. And on the slowvote.com or slowvote.gov, you can go to the precinct worker application. It's online, super easy. You do get paid. They're not volunteers, but it's a little bit like jury duty. It's not going to pay for much. But thank you for your service, and I really appreciate if people would be willing to be these precinct workers on election day to be able to vote constitutionally. And speaking of the Constitution, I have several copies of the pocket Constitution. It is the special 250-year version. You have the Declaration of Independence on one side, and if you think you're reading upside down, turn it over. It's the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I have those in the back if you'd like one.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else on public comment? And do we have anyone online, Melissa?
No, sir.
Very good. We'll go ahead and close public comment then. Move on to agendas to be deferred. Mr. Huang?
No items tonight for deferral.
Thank you. Moving on, overview of items to be considered on the consent calendar. Mr. Huang, do you have those for us?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. 11 items on your consent calendar tonight. The first is the approval of the minutes from your April 21st meeting. The second item is the receipt of advisory body meeting minutes from the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee meeting on March 9th and the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee meeting on March 9th as well. Item number three is the receipt of the warrant register. Since the last time we had a meeting, the city has issued $2.6 million in payments. Those exceeding $100,000 are as follows. First, a payment to Best Best and Krieger for February attorney's fees, the amount of $146,632.03. Next payment is to Granite Construction Company. This is related to the construction contract associated with the Westside Fiberized Slurry Seal Project that Ms. Esperanza covered earlier this evening in the amount of $1,354,106.38. And then the third and final payment that exceeds $100,000 is a payment to J.J. Fisher Construction. This is related to the pickleball court complex project that Ms. Esperanza also mentioned this evening in the amount of $205,769.76. Moving on the consent calendar, item number four is the approval of the Sixth Amendment to the lease between the city and the Paso Robles School District related to the use of municipal pool. And this is extending the term and revising use payments now that the district has opened up their new pool at the high school. Item number five is the approval of a new city park special event. This is the live to headphones silent piano experience. So this is a request that comes before the council because it's in City Park and this is a new event. Item number six is the approval of a resolution that authorizes the allocation of Senate Bill 1 funds for fiscal year 26-27. This is a gas tax that the state provides the city through Senate Bill 1, which was passed, I believe, in 2017. Each year, the city must authorize projects through a resolution, which is part of the process to receive the funds. So this is mirroring what's in the budget for in the proposed budget for next year. Item number seven is the approval of a construction contract to Whitaker Construction. This is related to the Creston Road Corridor Phase 2 project, which will, as Ms. Esperanza mentioned earlier tonight, completely rehabilitate Creston Road from Orchard Drive to Niblick Road, including that roundabout at Rolling Hill. The contract amount is about $13.4 million, with about $3 million coming through an earmark provided by Senator John Laird's office, as well as some other federal, state and federal funding, but most of the funding is coming from local sales tax measures. There's also a construction services contract in the amount of $754,000 and change to North Coast Engineering for support for the project. Item number eight is the approval of a construction contract to SenCal Construction. This is again related to the Riverside Pedestrian Improvement Project that Ms. Esperanza also spoke about earlier this evening. Item number nine is a second reading related to temporary prohibited and non-conforming signs. This is again the second of two readings, and you had first reading at your last meeting. This is simply the procedural second reading. Item number 10, similarly a second reading related to the Oaks at Ardmore project that included a rezoning and various other actions. Again, this is a second reading for that project that was discussed at length at your last meeting. And then finally, Mayor, item number 11 is the approval of a final map. This is for track 3153-5 in the Veneto Planning Area 5. There are several actions recommended under this item for the recordation to occur for this final map. And with that, we're happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. Items 1 through 11 here on the consent calendar are considered routine and do not normally require separate discussion. However, if any member of the council or public has any specific questions or wants clarification on an item, we can get those answered now before the vote is taken. Secondly, any member of the council that wants to have a full discussion of an item will cause that item to be pulled and from the consent calendar and then heard separately at the end of the discussion items portion of the agenda. We'll now ask council if they have any questions, and then we'll go to public. Councilman Bausch.
Questions on 4, 6, and 9, please. On question, or excuse me, on P4. At one time, we were had discussions for possible interaction with the YMCA. We have an update on that?
Yes, I believe you're correct. At one point in time, the city had an MOU with the YMCA and I believe the school district to explore a potential facility at this location. To our understanding, they've gone through their complete evaluation and at this time have not chosen to pursue.
So no bearing on this
action? New facility, no sir.
Okay, great. And then on number six, can I get some clarification on how this $880,000 might have any bearing on any SLOCOG funds? Is there any interconnection there?
If you're referring to the potential sales tax measure that SLOCOG's considering?
No, hopefully not.
Okay.
Just SLOCOG collects various funds.
Correct.
And this would not fall under that umbrella?
No, sir. This funding comes directly from the state. It does not pass through SLOCOG, so
okay,
it's separate and distinct.
And it's related to our fuel tax, gas tax money, essentially.
Correct. When Senate Bill 1 went into effect in 2017, it added additional gas tax to a gallon of gas, and a byproduct of that revenue was a direct allocation to cities and counties, and this is the result of that. And each year, we have to go through a resolution process to identify the specific segments of road that are going where the gas tax is going to be used, and so that's what this is today.
Thank you for that clarification. And then lastly, on nine, you're talking about the signs. The minutes reflect that we had an ad hoc committee to be formed, so we're still in the process. That will come back. It's not noted here. Just want to confirm that there will be an ad hoc committee.
Yes, sir. That's on.
Let there be
an ad hoc. That is on our to-do list, so that's going to come back before you under a separate action.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yep. Chris, I wanted to see if you could just quickly review item 7 and why Whitaker was selected because he had the low bid, but how much money we're going to save on that. And could you just review that real quick?
Yes, I may actually either call up Detis or Ryan to fill in the details. Detis, do you want to jump in and walk through engineers' estimates and related?
Might want to take the opportunity there too to also to thank our Senator John Laird for that $3 million to the city of Paso Robles when helping on this project. Greatly appreciated.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Question is, how much are we saving on this great bid we got that you accepted?
How much are we saving on accepting the bid?
You had an estimate from an engineer?
The engineer's estimate was $15 million, and the bid that came from Whitaker is $13.5 million. So whatever the difference is.
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million.
And the only unknown in that is what happens in the roundabout, correct?
Well, every time you dig up something, you never know, especially in Creston Road. If you recall in phase one, we dug up and there were things that showed up that weren't shown anywhere. Not just the water or sewer, but gas, telephone, cable TV, and then sometimes it's some unknown utility that was done in the 1950s nobody even heard of.
Yeah. Have we worked with Whitaker before?
Whitaker, yes, actually they did phase one, 13th Street Bridge widening over the Salinas River.
Okay.
Whitaker did that project, and the project manager on that project is now the president of Whitaker, so we're both excited to work together again.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, just real quick, secondary question to that. Can we tell the public about when that project might be completed? I mean, is there a time frame for the contract?
Yes. So, like I said in my presentation, I structured the bid such that there would be one notice to proceed, but that phase, the first one phase is from Melody to Niblick, because that's all just really road. The only thing underground on that portion of the road is the fiber conduits, and they can just blast that out and then do road repair. So we're giving the contractor 8 to 10 months to do that part. And then they can do, at the same time, they can do the roundabout, because it can be isolated separately. And in the roundabout, there's many, many undergrounding piping that needs to be accomplished. And so then we're giving them 18 to 24.